Sometimes to find your way, you have to lose the path. We are having real conversations with entrepreneurs, leaders, and makers in regards to leadership, taking risk, and carving your own path. I'm Ana Rodas, and this is Coordinates Unknown. And today, I am joined here with Heather Stewart, Executive Director of Kentucky Harvest. Hi, Heather.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for being here with us.
Glad to be here.
I am very excited to chat with you because I want to understand what Kentucky Harvest does. And first of all, I'd like to know, how did you get to Kentucky Harvest?
Well, and the simplest way to explain that is that Kentucky Harvest does food rescue. And a lot of people don't know what food rescue is. Food rescue is making sure that good, usable food doesn't go into a landfill, but rather gets to people in need in our community, because 1 in 6 people in our area go to bed hungry, and 1 in 5 children go to bed hungry right now.
How is it that people don't know that?
Awareness. I think people don't think about it. I think on a day-to-day basis, if you don't have to think about things that are sad or that don't make you feel good, you don't want to think about it.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Absolutely.
Have you always been passionate about food waste?
It's funny, I would laugh with my mom about this because I remember her when I was a kid always telling me, you know, clean your plate. You know, people in other countries would love to have this food, and realizing that people right down the street are having the same problem. So I think I've always been in the social services industry my entire career I have. So yes, I've always had a heart for this kind of work.
And how did you end up at Kentucky Harvest?
I ended up at Kentucky Harvest because I have a consulting firm for nonprofits called Affordable Nonprofit Help. And Kentucky Harvest reached out to us to help them with grant writing. And over the years, I just got more and more involved with Kentucky Harvest and really just fell in love with the simplicity of what it is that we're trying to do. We are really just trying to make sure that corporations and grocers and restaurants and bakeries, that they don't waste good food. You know, we're not really asking for a lot.
And I've had those situations where I see, especially on sets, I see the amount of food that goes to waste. And it's so sad. Now, talk to me about, so you said, how much are we wasting food in Kentucky?
About 30% of the food that is grown and produced locally ends up in a landfill. And that amount is actually enough to feed everyone that's suffering from food insecurity. What we really need companies to do is to donate more. And that's where we come in. We are the logistics. Kentucky Harvest doesn't cook food or prepare food or store food. We literally move food from point A to point B so that food that's rescued in the morning is on somebody's plate that night.
Wow. So if somebody wanted to be involved in this, how would they get involved?
The easiest way to get involved with Kentucky Harvest is to download our app. So you can go to the Google Play or the App Store and search for Kentucky Harvest. Download our app to become a food rescue hero. We always say real heroes don't always wear capes. And as little as 45 minutes, you can actually rescue food from over 200 food partners that we have in our community and take it to a nonprofit who is serving people in need.
So if I have, let's say, 3 sandwiches left over from breakfast and maybe a half or 5 half-eaten salads, would that be something that would be taken? And is that the average? Can the average person help as well?
Yes, we don't take food from homes, but people who, if you work at a grocery store or at a bakery, or if you own your own business and you see that you have food at the end of the day that is going to waste, there are multiple ways that we can help you with that. We actually do regular pickups, so we can actually pick up 3 or 4 days a week from your company. We can actually have you freeze some of the food, and we pick it up once a week so that it you have larger amounts. There are different ways that we work with different groups. We also have a fleet of vehicles. We have a box truck and a refrigerated truck and 2 cargo vans, along with 200 individuals in their personal cars that are doing rescues every single week.
That sounds like a lot of food is being moved through you guys.
Yes, we have a volunteer army and we love them all.
What is Kentucky Harvest's mission?
Our mission is to end local hunger by engaging volunteers and connecting with food partners to move food from those who have it to those in need. So what we really want to do is we want to make sure that good food does not go to waste, because we believe the good food belongs to people and not landfills. And we do that by partnering with hundreds of agencies across our 6-county area. We serve Clark Floyd and Harrison in southern Indiana, Jefferson, Oldham, and Shelby here in Kentucky. We feed about 250,000 people a year using rescue food, and each year we rescue over 2 million pounds of food. So what we really want to do is we want to get to that next level, because we do have the logistics, we have the support to get there, we have the infrastructure, now we just need the food. So we really need for companies to pay attention and to stop throwing good food away and to reach out to us to help.
Is that a simple phone call away?
It's not always as simple as we would like for it to be, no.
So what would the process be?
There's a lot of red tape. There's a lot of fear. So we try to do a lot of marketing and awareness around the issue. A lot of people don't realize that back in the 90s, a bill was signed into law called the Bill Emerson Good Samaritan Food Donation Act that makes sure that companies are not liable if somebody were to, heaven forbid, get food from that said company and then get sick.
And that's something I've heard before in the past, because when we're on set, we want to donate that food, and always that red flag comes up. Wait, can we be liable? This food has been sitting out for 3-4 hours. Can somebody still eat it? If they get sick, are we going to be liable? So how does that work?
Well, we work with a lot of catering companies and companies that provide food in that way. We never serve any food that's already been out. So say, for instance, if you have a buffet table in mind and people have already been digging into the mashed potatoes, we're not going to then take those mashed potatoes and take them to somebody in need. We're going to take the tray that's next up that never gets opened, mm-hmm. and we'll take those trays and pile them into either our cars or our vans or our trucks and get those to our partners.
So is it only cooked food, or do you guys also take canned food? What is all the type of food that you take as donations?
We do take anything and everything. We take large amounts of produce, dairy, breads. We also, yes, do canned goods. A few years ago, we had a situation where we rescued 500,000 pounds of canned goods, and they were broths. Beef broth, vegetable broth, chicken broth, bone broth, all different kinds of broths. So everybody in the city had all the broth that they could use.
Hopefully it was in the winter.
Luckily it was during soup season. It was going into soup season. But companies, if something is within a certain amount of time of the expiration mm-hmm. date, they don't have time to stock it in the stores and get it on the shelves before it runs out. So we can rescue those foods, and then they still can take a tax write-off for that.
Gotcha. Okay. So from individuals, if they had cans at home, that's just something that...
We do some food drives with companies, and people do bring in their own personal canned mm-hmm. goods. But for the most part, we're collecting from the retailers themselves.
What was your first experience with Kentucky Harvest?
Oh, gosh. One of my first experiences with Kentucky Harvest was being in a food line that we provided the food for when I was just writing grants for us, and seeing a little girl who looked up at her mom and said, "Oh, mommy, we get to have supper tonight," because she saw all the food that was laid out on the table, and it was all rescued food. And you just don't realize how much need there is in the community until you go and you see these things firsthand.
How did you feel?
Oh, I cried.
you're kind of making me cry just to think about it.
I have a little girl myself, and she was about the same age, and I can't imagine what it must feel like to not know where our next meal is going to be. And that, unfortunately, since COVID, has gotten even worse in our community. We thought we had a lot of calls during COVID with people needing help and people being off work and, you know, people suffering in different ways, but really it's gotten so much worse. Inflation, you've been to the grocery recently. I mean, I used to be able to fill up my cart for $100. So now, you know, you can't even get close. You can, even the little carts, you can't fill up with $100 anymore. So food rescue is very, very important to our community because it stretches those dollars and it helps save our nonprofit partners millions. Last year, we saved our nonprofit partners nearly $4 million. And that's money that they can use to strengthen their programs, which makes our community a better place to live and work and play.
Wow. That's impressive how many people. So is there, you're saying it's getting worse?
Inflation. Yes, I'm saying it's harder for people to buy groceries, buy the same amount of groceries that they could 5 years ago. Also, the cut in SNAP benefits recently, I think, has made people a little fearful, a lot of changes in local government. I'm saying it's getting worse.
Since you've been involved with Kentucky Harvest, is there another story that you could share with us in which you have been able to notice the impact that you guys do on people?
I think that any time that you want to see what is going on in our community, if any time you want to see the need, there are organizations that you can partner with. Some of the churches, for instance, I think are the best example of that. You can see people driving through or walking through to get boxes of food who are so very grateful. There are tears, there are smiles, there is laughter, there is hope. And I think that that is such an important thing because little things go a very, very long way. And food rescue is one of those little things. It is the easiest way to make an impact in your community by getting involved in doing food rescue.
So I guess you're saying in every single time that you are in these, it's those feel good.
Every time. I get to see those moments all the time. We get thank you notes from our nonprofit partners. We get thank you notes from kids. We get thank you notes from moms and dads who really didn't know where their next meal was going to come from. And it matters so much.
How does that make you feel?
It's amazing. It's amazing to have a job where you can know that what you're doing every single day is really making a difference to people individually.
Do you go back to your mom and tell her, Mom, making sure I clean up that plate?
Absolutely. And my mom's actually a food rescue hero. She does her own rescues.
That's wonderful. So it's staying in the family.
Staying in the family.
You know, my mom used to tell me that too. And I think it does get really deep in your brain when you're raised that way that there are. And yeah, she would say the same thing. There are kids in other countries, but no, they're right here.
Absolutely. And right down the street. And it could be your neighbor. I think that people have a real misconception about food insecurity and what it is. It can be in the nice neighborhoods. It doesn't, you know, have to be in like certain areas of town that we've labeled as high need. It can be really anybody. It can be the elderly person that lives right next door to you. We had one of our church partners recently tell us that he was talking to this elderly lady who had been adding water to a Campbell's vegetable soup can for an entire week to stretch it out, or people who are buying things like cat and dog food because they're cheaper. It's everywhere. And I think that people just don't realize it.
In hearing those stories, like just spreading out a Campbell's soup can, and then on the other hand, seeing the amounts of food that are being wasted, it's just logical and it's a humane thing to do to just share that.
Absolutely. Everybody could be doing it on some level. And everybody knows somebody. We all go out to dinner. Think about how much we go out to eat, probably a little too much. But we all know restaurant managers that we could say, hey, what do you guys do with your excess? Hey, do you ever have Uber Eats orders that don't get picked up? Are you ever catering something for your company where you have a few extra sandwiches or a few extra trays that haven't been touched yet? Food rescue can happen every single day. There are always opportunities for it. So we just really need people to be educated and talk more about it and ask those hard questions when they're dining out, when they're popping into places to get bagels or donuts or whatever it is. If everybody is aware of food rescue and the need, then that just amplifies our effect and helps us to be able to do more.
What was your trajectory at Kentucky Harvest?
My trajectory.
Did you start as the executive director?
Actually, no, I didn't. I started as a part-time grant writer. and then led them through a 3-year strategic plan. And after that, they asked me if I would become the executive director. I had a lot of other clients at the time, so I actually was only able to step in and do that in a part-time basis for the longest time. But the last 3 years I've been full-time. So I became the executive director in September of 2020 during COVID.
It's a little late, but congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
Because it is quite an achievement. And I'm curious to know, what do you think it takes to achieve a position like that? You mentioned you've been working in a nonprofit, but in any of these work fields, it's hard to climb that ladder. And for me, it's important to understand what trait or what values, what do you think really allowed you to get to where you are now?
I think being open to change, because especially now in this technology-driven world that we live in, change is very hard for people, but it's so important. Prior to 2023, we were actually managing hundreds of volunteers through a sign-up genius. So it was very, very tedious and very, very difficult. And then, like I said, we launched this app, the Kentucky Harvest app, that helped volunteers to go on and do all these rescues. So that's been a really big game changer for us. So I would say, don't fear change. Don't fear technology. You know, be able to, willing to swing and miss sometimes. But I would say that would be the number one key that I've learned. You know, the truth of it is I got hired to be a social worker and moved. I was at WKU and I was going to get my master's degree at the Kent School and moved everything home from Bowling Green. And it was a Thursday. And moved in with my mom and dad to save a little bit of money, because social workers don't make a lot of money. And the next morning, Governor Patton laid off 200 social workers, and I found out because my name was in the paper. No phone call, no nothing. So I think that my career trajectory was kind of squashed, and I thought, oh, heck, what am I going to do now? And in college, I had loved doing philanthropy with my sorority. I loved it. Loved planning the events. I loved raising the money, and I applied for a couple of jobs that were nonprofit jobs and just kind of fell into it, really.
And that's the beauty of the fact that we're interviewing you, because this is called Coordinates Unknown. We're exploring the trajectory of people who started somewhere and they ended somewhere completely different. Mm-hmm. You never expected it,
yes.
But it works. And it is actually what you're meant to be doing, because otherwise you wouldn't have this passion.
Absolutely. I think it was a God thing. I don't think that I had the heart for Child Protective Services. I don't think that I think I would have taken every kid home with me that I could have. I just don't think I could have done it. But nonprofit has been something I've loved, and I've been doing it for, oh my gosh, 30 years.
But it takes a really, really good backbone for you to be able to work in nonprofit, because I have friends who work in nonprofit, and the toll that it can take on you emotionally with the amount of things that you see, that you hear, it's just something most of us are not exposed to. And it's going back to what we said with the out of sight, out of mind, mm-hmm. But you're seeing it every day. How do you handle that?
Well, I think I just know that what we're doing is making a difference, and it's really important. And every job that I've taken in the nonprofit sector, it's always had to be something that I could be passionate about. It can't just be anything. It really has to be something that I believe in, because we have to sell that every day. And we have to, you know, sell it to donors. We sell it to social media. We sell it to anybody and everybody that'll listen. So I think that when people go into this nonprofit sector and they're trying to do something that they don't really have a passion for, I think you can tell. But how can you not be passionate about wanting to make sure your neighbors have food?
Well, you say how can you, but not everyone is taking the time and doing the work that you are doing. So I do think it's remarkable, and you should pat yourself a little bit on the back for what you're doing, because you are making Louisville and just like our entire area way better and helping so many people. The tremendous impact that you're doing. Has there been much growth since you've been with Kentucky Harvest?
We have grown in a fundraising sense. Absolutely. We have for a few years, Kentucky Harvest. Well, actually, Kentucky Harvest has always been very grassroots driven. So I was the first executive director in 2020. A lot of people don't know that Kentucky Harvest is, we think, the second oldest food rescue nonprofit in the United States.
Wow.
We started in 1987. We can only find one other organization that started before us. And we were actually started by a local businessman who just saw that so much good food was going to waste. He went to lots of galas and lots of black tie events and saw lots of catering go in the trash. And he thought, this is a shame. Why are we doing this? And so he challenged to find a way to do it better. And so, we have definitely grown. The amount of food that we can donate, we could do so much more. We run into, as I mentioned before, a lot of red tape. We run into companies that don't want to donate for whatever reason. Maybe they're afraid it'll tarnish their brand. Maybe they don't want to take the time to do it. But right now, we are definitely in a growth mode, and we are trying to grow by 1 million pounds this next calendar year. And we're thinking outside of the box. We have been working to come up with new ways to get large amounts of food. I can't say a whole lot about that yet, but hopefully this time next year I'll be able to say a lot more. But we've got some big plans in store because we do have the infrastructure to get there now.
Wonderful. Because I'm thinking if we're looking at a graph, unfortunately, our graph with hunger is going up.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys sound like, it sounds like Kentucky Harvest is also going up. It just needs to get a little bit more funding.
We always need funding, but more important than funding, we need the ears of the right people. Mm-hmm. We need connections to the decision makers who decide where that food is going to go. And a lot of times for us, it's, store managers, which is, or small business owners, and those people are phenomenal. But there's hundreds more out there just like them that don't know about us.
And hopefully if people hear this, and if you're a business owner, you should reach out to Kentucky Harvest.
Absolutely. And we make it so easy for people, too. We actually have a donate food button right on the homepage of our website, and it mm-hmm. populates directly to our app. Now, if you have a large, huge donation that we need to bring out one of our large trucks for, a phone call is always better. But most people have smaller amounts to start with, and we would love to get you started.
So what is in the future for Kentucky Harvest?
I think I already said, our growth really just requires people. Yeah. It requires partnerships. I don't know really what else to say about that.
And what is in the future for you? What are you most excited about, or what do you look forward to?
I look forward to a day where everybody is donating their excess food and we don't have a hunger problem and we can figure out the logistics to get the food to the people who need it, because really nobody should be going to bed hungry. Children shouldn't have to face that reality. Everybody hears about the kids in the Jefferson County schools who are needing extra resources, and thank God for places like, Blessings in a Backpack and the alumni programs that make sure that kids have food and backpacks and things to take home on the weekends. I would look forward to a day where all of those programs are in place, where nobody ever has to think about what they're going to eat.
So Kentucky Harvest has an app called Food Rescue Hero. Tell me about it.
So to download the app, you go to Google Play or the App Store, and you can search for Kentucky Harvest. And then you download that app and become a Food Rescue Hero. Food Rescue Hero is the name of the app that we use, and it's actually licensed technology out of Pittsburgh that us and about 25 or 26 other cities and states use to mobilize our armies of volunteers to make sure that food rescue happens each and every day in our community.
And it's so simple, because you can literally just see who needs to pick up food. And then you click on it and you can pick it up and bring it to where it's needed, correct?
It's very, very simple. And we just did our year in review. We've actually had over 1,200 downloads of our app. We've got about 162 volunteers that are active on the app This year, those volunteers drove over 46,000 miles. They provided 4,800 meals every single day to people at 66 local nonprofits in our community. And the other hidden fact about Kentucky Harvest is the other thing that we care about, not just keeping food out of landfill to get it to people in need, although that's primary. We also want to make sure that we're not creating more greenhouse gas emissions, because carbon gases in the air, you know, contaminate our breathing air. We actually were able to mitigate over 6 million pounds of carbon gas this past year.
How?
Well, carbon gases, food that's rotting in a landfill is actually a bigger greenhouse gas emitter than the entire airline industry. Fresh foods that are rotting in the earth are not good for us. So that's just a secondary part of what we do.
Wow. So you're helping on both ends.
Yeah.
So there's also Plate It Forward. Tell me what that is.
Plate It Forward is our recurring giving program. So you can give on a monthly basis, as little as $10 a month if you like, to help make a difference and help us to keep our trucks on the road. Obviously, we have pretty low overhead. We have a lot of volunteers that support us, and that really helps us greatly. But we do still have maintenance and insurance and vehicle problems and costs, and our fleet is aging. So we do have those issues that we have to take care of. But we have a community of believers that believe in what we're doing. They believe in food rescue. We call it Plate It Forward. We send them monthly stories about what's going on in our community, heartfelt stories about how we've made a difference in people's lives. So it's really easy to join Plate It Forward if you go to our website and learn all about it.
So if you don't have a business, or if you don't are not a restaurant manager or anything like that, you can still help by donating to Plate It Forward.
Absolutely.
That's a great way to do it if you're just an individual and still want to help.
Yeah, and you can do it for, you know, just as little or as much as you want.
What keeps you waking up every morning and wanting to go to work?
I think the personal stories, the testimonials, not just of the nonprofits themselves, but of the people who need food. There was a grandmother a few months ago who had taken custody of her 5 grandchildren, and she was already on a fixed income, and she came to one of the food pantries that we support, and she was absolutely in tears because she really didn't know any other way that she was going to be able to feed those kids. And now she can go weekly and get the food that she needs until hopefully that situation changes. Stories like that, seeing the difference that having food, seeing the hope in people's eyes when they realize, I don't have to struggle. I don't have to do this alone. There are resources out there. And just being part of the solution, I think, is what drives me.
I can't imagine having that reaction from people on a daily basis, knowing that huge impact. I know it's probably really tough to see those things, but at the same time, you get to go to bed at night and know, okay, I helped X amount of families today, you and your team. I know it's not just you, but
oh, absolutely
it
not.
Is incredible.
It's me, it's my team, it's 66 nonprofit partners. That includes homeless shelters, children's centers, addiction recovery centers, and churches that do food pantries to feed the people in their community. It's everybody. They're doing the important work. We just are trying to help make sure good food doesn't go to waste.
Well, it takes a good leader in order to be able to make all of this work and have such a good, because it sounds like you guys have a great way to do it. It's efficient, it's simple, and you have the right people doing the work that needs to be done.
Absolutely. We just need everybody to hear it.
And now we're trying to share it with everyone. So if you have any food waste, if you're a restaurant manager or anything in that regard, which we mentioned earlier, then please do reach out to Kentucky Harvest.
Thank you.
If this story resonates with you, please share it with somebody who would also be interested. This is Cornets Unknown. I'm Ana Rodas, and we will see you next time on The Edge of the Map. Thank you for being with us, Heather.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure chatting with you.
It was great.